الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تلبسوا الحق بالباطل وتكتموا الحق وأنتم تعلمون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon the people, Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. Called upon the people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passed this message to all of mankind. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the beginning of creation, the creation of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and we spoke of that yesterday. We heard of that last week. Okay, in last week's lesson, we learned about the creation of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bow down and prostrate, do sajda to Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and then how Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam came onto this earth. That's what we talked about last lesson. After this ruku' finishes, the new ruku' that begins, it talks about the Bani Israel. Bani Israel are the Yahud, the Jews. And Bani Israel in the Ibrani language means Abdullah. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi, and invoked the whole of creation, all of mankind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, which is the beginning of humanity, of mankind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after that has given a special invitation to the Bani Israel. So there was an invitation towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the words Ya ayyuhan nas, all the people. So Allah invited everybody towards the worship of one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and towards Islam. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the beginning of creation, how Allah created us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invokes, calls towards the Bani Israel, meaning the Jews, the Yahud, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an invite. And this continues from here until the second sipara, second chapter, until Sayyqulu Sufaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the Jews. So that's going to be the chapter from, that's going to be the subject from now, until the second sipara. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them with the words Ya Bani Israel. Bani Israel in the Ibrani language means Abdullah. Tika? Abdullah means the servant of Allah, the slave of Allah, the worshipper of Allah. And this was the title of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. Tika? This was the title of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam, Israel. Israel was the title of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. And Israel means Abdullah. Tika? So Bani Israel means the children of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. Tika? And that is the Jews. So Ya Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O the children of Yaqub alayhi salam, Udhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. Remember my favors, allati an'amtu alaykum, that I favored upon you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did towards them. Now, in these verses we'll see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites the Jews, the Yahud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the favors that Allah did towards them and calls them to do that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to some of them and to those who came before them, and calls them through that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also calls them by telling them about the rewards in the akhirah. The reward and the punishment in the akhirah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them due to the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done towards them. So what are the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did towards the children of Ya'qub alayhi salam? We will read about them later. But what we do know is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ripped the sea open for them to walk through, to walk past. And then when Pharaoh went in, when Fir'aun went in, all the water came back in and they all died and Fir'aun drowned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them success from the tyranny and the zulm and the transgression and oppression of Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave them many other favors. For example, when they were traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always kept a cloud above them to give them shade from the sun, to protect them from the heat of the sun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them food from Jannah, from heaven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was known as man and salwa, which was sweet and salty food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such a gift that when their children were born, they were born with clothes on. Tika? And the clothes would clean themselves, so they didn't have to wash their clothes. And when the child grew, the clothes grew with the child. Tika? Such gifts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of. That remember these gifts that I favored upon you. Why is it that you have turned away now? Okay? So, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا and fulfill بعهدي with my covenant, the promise that you made to me, fulfill it. The agreement that we made, fulfill that agreement. أوفي بعهدكم أوفي بعهدكم and I shall fulfill the promise I made towards you. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, remember the favors I did towards you, and you fulfill the promise that you made towards me, and I will fulfill the promise that I made towards you. The promise that they made towards Allah was that they will worship Allah, they will believe in Allah, and they will continue to be the servants of Allah, the abiding servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them that if they remain steadfast upon that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them success in both the worlds. Tika? That they will enter eternal bliss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you fulfill the agreement from your side and I shall fulfill the agreement from my side. وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ and fear only me. وَإِيَّايَ only fear me. Don't fear anybody else. وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced prophethood, the reason why many Jews did not accept the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is because they feared. They feared the people, they feared loss of wealth, they feared loss of respect and honor that they used to receive. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them to leave all that fear and only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in another verse, which will come later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that the Jews knew who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ in the same way as they knew who their children were. Okay, so when you have a child, think about your child. How much do you know that this is my child? You know that this is my child. You have no doubt that this is my child. In the same way, the Jews knew that this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the final prophet. There is absolutely no doubt that he is the last messenger that was promised to us. They knew that. Yet they still rejected. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ Only fear me and leave the fear of everything else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ And believe in that which I have revealed towards you. Tika? بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ Sorry. And believe in that which I have revealed. Tika, and it's towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and towards everybody else. So believe in that which I have revealed, musaddiqan lima ma'akum, which verifies that which is with you. Tika, it does the tasdiq of that which is with you. It tells you about the fact that there is only one God and there is no God other than Allah. It tells you about Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. It tells you about Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam, the Prophet Noah. Tika, about the ship and the flood. And it tells you about Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it tells you about Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. It tells you about Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam. This book verifies everything that you have in your books. Tika, and the same goes for the Christians. That this book verifies that which is in your book as well. It talks about Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, the miraculous birth of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, the fact that Sayyiduna Maryam alayhi salam had not married and she was a virgin. Tika? And yet Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam was given birth through the ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the air that Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam blew into Sayyiduna Maryam alayhi salam's chest. Tika? It talks about all of this. So why do you not believe that which verifies everything that you have already been given? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And do not become the first from amongst the people of the book to reject this final book. Tika? So from amongst the people of the book, you do not become the first to reject the final book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, which is the Qur'an. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And do not sell your verses, the verses that I have given to you, the verses and the message that I have given to you, do not sell it for a small price, for a ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, for a small price, do not sell it. This verse, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, and only fear me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word farhabun, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word taqwa. Do not fear me. Taqwa is also God fearing. Tika? And this verse, the shani nuzul of this verse, meaning the reason why it was revealed, according to some of the mufassireen, it was in regards to Ka'b ibn Ashraf. Ka'b ibn Ashraf was a Jew, a Yahudi, who was amongst the ulama of the Yahud. And this verse is revealed regarding him and a few other leaders of the Jews, the scholars, the ulama of the Jews, who knew the verses of their scripture. They knew what was revealed upon Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam and in the Tawrat, and they would read it. Tika? And as we have already been told, that in the previous ummah, the general public did not have access to read the actual scriptures. Tika? It was not like the Quran that was revealed for everybody. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam emphasized the importance of memorizing the whole Quran for everybody, not only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tika? So Ka'b ibn Ashraf and these other ru'asa leaders and the ulama, the scholars of the Jews, they knew the verses that were mentioned in regards to the praise and the attributes and the signs of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew them lines. Yet when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced prophethood, they hid them verses, they hid them signs, they hid them attributes. Tika? And when people asked that, oh, we have heard that a man named Muhammad has announced prophethood, we need to know what the signs are, what the signs were mentioned in our books. They didn't give them. They hid them. They walked away. Tika? Tika? They turned around and they walked away. They refused to give them attributes. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Do not sell these verses of mine for a small price. And what was this small price? The narration say that they used to receive a percentage of everybody's business. Tika? Hafta lete te logo se. They used to take. Like tax. Tika? They used to take a portion, a certain percentage of the crops that grew, the vegetation that grew, and the fruits that grew, the money that people made. They used to take a certain percentage of all of that. And this is what they were receiving from wealth. And because of this, the fear of losing this small price, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this a small price, because it's the worldly wealth. It's material. It's this worldly material. Theek hai? And which is temporary. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this a small price. Theek hai? So this small price you are selling my verses for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do this. Theek hai? Don't sell my verses, don't hide my verses for this small price, for this worldly pleasure. وَإِيَّا يَفَتَّقُونَ And fear me, only fear me. Don't fear all these other things. Leave the fear of all of these other things and come and fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell people the truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ Do not dress the truth with falsehood. Tika? تَلْبِسُ is from the word libas. You are covering the truth with falsehood. Tika? These people started to alter the verses that they had. They started to change the ghir and tahreef. They started to bring these things into their verses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, and this is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving them these verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theka? So Allah knew everything. And thus Allah gave that knowledge to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through this Qur'an. And thus he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people what was happening. So, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ And do not dress the truth with falsehood. Do not hide the truth with falsehood. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ And you are hiding the truth, yet you know. You already know, yet you are still hiding the truth. So, what it means is that you are doing it on purpose. جَانْبُوشْكَ On purpose you are hiding the truth. And this, what these people did is they altered the verses of the Quran. The verses of the Tawrat and the verses of the Injil. Tika. And they completely changed them. They made some of the verses disappear. They completely removed them and made people forget about them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ And establish salah. Perform salah. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ And give the poor duty, the zakat, the charity that is called upon the Muslims. وَرْكَعُوا مَا الرَّاكِعِينَ And bow with those who bow. And perform ruku' with those who perform ruku'. وَرْكَعُوا مَا الرَّاكِعِينَ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them towards Salah, because Salah is a form through which people can receive guidance. Zakat, given to the poor, it is another form through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to people. وَرْكَعُوا مَا الرَّاكِعِينَ And come and perform ruku' with those who perform ruku'. Yani come and worship Allah in congregation. And this hukum, because this is a fa'li amr, It also indicates towards the wujub of performing salah with jama'ah. Tika? It also indicates towards that. So, aqimu salah, establish salah, wa atu zakah, and give zakat, give the poor their need, wa rka'u ma'ar raki'een, and perform ruku' with those who perform ruku'. Yani do sajda and ruku' and perform salah with those people who perform salah, not individually. Perform it with people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ You are ordering people to do good. You are ordering people good. You are enjoining good. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ And you have forgotten about yourselves. يعني خود عمل کرتے ہیں اور اوروں کو عمل کرنے کا حکم کر رہے ہیں لیکن خود نہیں You are ordering other people to act upon it, but you are not. You are forgetting about yourself. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ Yet you are the ones who recite the book. Tika? You are the ones who recite the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not think? Do you not have intellect? تمہارے پاس عقل نہیں ہے? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. What does this mean? What this means is, the shan-e nuzul of this, is that the ulama-e yahood, the scholars of the Yahud, what they used to do is they used to tell their relatives. Apne rishtedaron ko kehte the. They used to tell their relatives that go and accept this message that Muhammad is giving. He is on the truth. According to our scriptures, he is right. He is the final prophet. Success is in following him and accepting him. So go and follow him. So they were enjoining good. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْصَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Yet then themselves, they didn't accept. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. كَأَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْصَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Yet you are the ones who are reading the book. So the amount of yaqeen you have, your relatives don't have. Yet you still don't realize. You don't realize how stupid that is, that you know what the truth is, you are saving your relatives, yet you are not saving yourself, you are forgetting about yourself. Okay? That's according to the mainstream Mufassirin Kiram, the reason why this was revealed. Another group has said, one of the qawl of the Shan Nuzul of this verse, is that the Yahud, they used to do tabligh amongst the Arabs. Okay? Wo tabligh karte the Arabon mein, Arab ke logon. And when they did tabligh, they used to tell them ke ek nabi aayenge, a prophet will come, tum logo mein se aayenge, he will come from amongst you, his name will be Muhammad Ahmed, theek hai, and he will have these signs in him. They used to tell them, when he comes, accept him, don't reject him. They used to say these good things to the Arab people. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced prophethood, then these mushrikeen, some of them accepted, due to what they had learnt from the Jews. But the Jews, they didn't accept. So that's what this verse is saying, that you are ordering good to the others, yet you are forgetting about yourselves. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. And you are the ones who are reading the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you not use your intellect? تُمَا أَقْلْ مَيَّ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help from patience and salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, isti'ana means to seek help. Tika, aun means help. Isti'ana means to seek help. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through patience and performing salah. And if you look into the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time a calamity came, a problem came, he always practiced sabr. If you look at his characteristics, his beautiful manners, he was always patient. In all matters he was patient. Tika? And this was in all worldly calamities and problems that he had faced during the mission that he came with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? And Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she in a narration says that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never become angry with anybody unless they violated the law of Allah. Theek hai? If they violated the law of Allah, then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become angry. Theek hai? And then he would punish in according to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for other reasons, for other problems that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced in terms of the transgressors attacking, calling, forcing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a war, tika, a violent war, and things like this. These type of things, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always practiced patience. If you look at all of his life, he was always practicing patience, up to the extent that when a person came and started urinating in the mosque, he practiced patience. So patience is key in the life of a believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. And if you look back into Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Okay? We only seek help from you, O Allah. We only seek help from you, O Allah. We seek help from none other than Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, ordering us to seek help from patience. Which tells us that the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is not that we must not ever ask anybody else for help other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise we will become mushrik. But what it means is that you only seek help from those that you believe are a means of help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? Not from idols who cannot even move a fly away from their own selves. Tika? An idol who cannot even protect itself from a stone being thrown towards it. We do not seek help from them. Why? Because they are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are taghut, the false gods. So that is shirk. And when we say Iyyaka nasta'in, it means that we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from all those means of help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this earth for us. So isti'ana bis-sabr. And the mufassirin, they in detail talk about sabr and patience. And they talk about the benefits of patience in every matter of life. Tika, whether it be a physical harm that you have faced, patience, you must practice it. Whether it's somebody has attacked you mentally, you should still practice patience. Whether a calamity has come upon you, practice patience. If somebody is oppressing you or transgressing upon you, patience. Tika, sabr, the fruit of patience is always sweet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always rewards those who practice patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also orders us to perform salah. Tika, so seek help through salah. Whenever, if you read the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam facing a problem or a calamity had come upon the Muslims, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always secluded himself and he started performing salah. Hana, he would start performing salah. And he would do that at times when they were sitting together, he would leave and on his own he would go and perform salah. And through salah he would seek help sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika, and we should also practice this, as this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you face a problem, when you face a calamity, then you should perform salah. Tika? And this is what we have not only been ordered by Allah in the Quran, not the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, but also by the awliya kiram, our buzurganideen, our pious predecessors. They have also ordered us the same. For example, we perform salatul ghawthiya. Tika? Some people think that this namaz is performed for Sayyidina Ghawth-e Azam radiallahu ta'ala, which is their ignorance, is jihalat. Halakhe, this salah is performed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tika? And it is seeking help through salah, exactly as this verse orders us to do. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us that we should seek help through patience and through salah. And that is why sometimes it is very important that when somebody is attacking you, for you to remain quiet and practice patience. Tika, it is better for you to remain quiet. You don't have to always answer to people's objections, answer to what people are saying about you. Tika, there are certain times when you have to, and there are certain times when it is best to practice patience and remain quiet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, seek help through patience and seek help through salah. And we have seen this practiced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every time he sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah in the time of calamity, for example before the war, he would perform salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gave the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam success. In the same way, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was extremely worried about the ummah and what would happen to the ummah in the akhirah, and that's why at night he used to perform salah. And he used to cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would stand in the night, hatta warama qadama, up to the extent that his heels would become swollen due to the fact that he was standing on rough ground for this long. And she says that he would cry and there'd be a puddle of water in front of him. And on his lips he would be saying, Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. Hana, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking help through salah for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us. Tika? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this patience and salah, to seek help through patience and through salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innaha lakabiratun illa ala al-khashirin. Innaha lakabira, that verily this patience, to practice patience, and to practice salah is a kabira, meaning it is hardship, dushwar, mushkil. It is a hardship for people. Illa ala al-khashi'in. But it is not a hardship for the khashi'in. It is not a hardship for the true believers, for those who have khushu', who have love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practicing patience is very easy for them. Performing salah is their pleasure. Figure, they find pleasure in performing salah. They find pleasure in being patient. So this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies for us that those who find it hard to perform salah and those who find it hard to practice patience, they are not from amongst the khashi'in. They are not from amongst those who have khushu' for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, sabr and salah is simple and easy for those who have khushu'. And the ones who have khushu', they are the true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are true believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for us it should be easy and simple, and we should find pleasure in practicing patience and in performing salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the very people, the khashi'een are who? The true believers are who? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. These are those people, and يَظُنُّونَ here means yaqeen. They know with certainty أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. When the word ظَنَّ يَظُنُّ and ظَنَّ يَظُنُّ means gumaan karna. Theek hai? To have a thought, to think. But when it is followed by anna or inna in the Arabic language, then it means yaqeen. Theek hai? It's a very important rule in the Arabic language. That when zanna yazunnu, after that verb comes anna or inna, then it gives the benefit of certainty. So here it means alladhina yazunnuna annahum. It doesn't mean that they think they are going to see Allah. It means they believe with certainty. أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, that they will meet their Lord. They will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theka? And the ulama-i-kiram say that from this, there is a bashara, there is a glad tiding for the believers, that they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Theka? Because for liqa, to see each other is important. Theka? To see each other fulfills liqa. Without that, liqa is not fulfilled. So liqa means to meet, and to meet you have to see each other. That is when you say that liqa has completely taken place. So, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. They are those people, the khashi'een, who practice sabr, who practice salah in times of need, and they seek help through them too. These khashi'een are those who know with certainty that they will meet their Lord, they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they all have to return. These are the people who have khushu'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the khushu', from the khashi'een, from the ahli khushu', and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice sabr, to practice patience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast upon believing in the final book and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next ruku' again is about the Bani Israel, and this ruku' talks about some of the incidents that happened in the time of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam, which we will inshallah cover next week. That's our ruku' for this week inshallah. Sadaqallahu al-Azim wa sadaqa Rasulul Nabi al-Amin al-Kareem. Yeah, go on. So before we start the hadith of us, we'll have one more natural inshallah.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله وهكذا من
تبعِ باسِ ہے بالا تیرا واہ کیا میں تبعِ غوثِ ہے بالا تیرا اونچے اونچوں کے سروں سے پدمالا تیرا سربلا کیا کوئی جانے کہ کیسا تیرا سربلا کیا کوئی جانے کہ کیسا تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ تلوار تیرا اولیاء ملتے ہیں آنکھیں وہ تلوار تیرا واہ کیا میں تباہِ غوثِ بالا تیرا قسمیں دے دے کے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے قسمیں دے دے کے کھلاتا ہے پلاتا ہے تجھے پیارا اللہ تیرا چاننے والا تیرا پیارا اللہ تیرا چاننے والا تیرا واہ کیا میں تباہِ غوثِ بالا تیرا تجھ سے در در سے سگر سگ سے ہے مجھ کو نسبت تجھ سے در در سے سگر سگ سے ہے مجھ کو نسبت میری گردن میں بھی ہے دور کا دورہ تیرا میری گردن میں بھی ہے دور کا دورہ تیرا واہ کیا میں تباہِ غوثِ بالا تیرا اس نشانی کے جو سگے ہیں نہیں مارے جاتے اس نشانی کے جو سگے ہیں نہیں مارے جاتے حشر تک میرے گلے میں رہے پتا تیرا حشر تک میرے گلے میں رہے پتا تیرا واہ کیا میں تباہِ غوثِ بالا تیرا مجھ کو رسوا بھی اگر کوئی کہے گا تو یوں ہی مجھ کو رسوا بھی اگر کوئی کہے گا تو یوں ہی کہ وہی نہ وہ رضا بن گئے رسوا تیرا کہ وہی نہ وہ رضا بن گئے رسوا فخر آقا میں رضا اور بھی ایک نظم رفیع فخر آقا میرا زار بھی ایک نظم رفیع چل لکھانا سنا خانوں میں چہرہ تیرا چل خالا سنا خانوں میں چہرہ تیرا واہ کیا مرتبہ ہے غوث بالا تیرا اونچے اونچوں کے سروں سے قرمالا تیرا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين The last lesson we heard a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in regards to unity. And the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the ummah is like one body. When one part or one limb feels pain, it calls the rest of the body towards sharing that pain. And the last hadith, I believe, that we heard or we went through is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that verily each one of you is a mirror for his brother. Hannah. And from that we learned that a believer is he who removes the defaults and defects from his fellow believers. Tika. The next hadith is a very important hadith narrated by Sayyiduna Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And may Allah be pleased with Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala an as well. Qala, the son of Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala an, Abdullah, he says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, أَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مُسْلِمٍ أَكْفَرَ رَجُلًا مُسْلِمًا. Whichever Muslim person called another Muslim person a kafir. Theka? So when a believer calls another believer a kafir, فَإِنْ كَانَ كَافِرًا وَإِلَّا كَانَ هُوَ الْكَافِرُ. If the person who he called a kafir is a kafir, then so be it. Otherwise, the kufr fires back onto the caller, and he is a kafir. Theek hai? So basically, and this narration has come many a times in the books of Ahadith in different words. And in some of the wording, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one calls another a kafir, one of them is a kafir. Theka? When one believer calls another believer a kafir, one of them is a kafir. Which simply means that either the person who he is calling a kafir is a kafir, and if he is not a kafir, then he becomes a kafir for calling the other believer a kafir. Okay? So when one Muslim calls another nominal Muslim a kafir, then either he is a kafir, or then the person who called it becomes a kafir. And this is why it is very important to be very extremely careful when labeling another as a kafir. Theek hai? And that is why if you look into the amal of the fuqaha, the action of the fuqaha, what they do is that they will label the action as kufr, but not always will they label the doer as a kafir as well. Theek hai? That has to be absolutely clear. There has to be absolutely no doubt. And it is narrated from Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala an, that he said that when a nominal Muslim does an action or makes a statement of kufr, apparent kufr, then you must try and interpret and try and find a meaning of Islam from his words or his action. Okay? And if you find 99 interpretations which make it clear that his action or his statement is kufr, but there is one interpretation which can make it mean Islam, then you must give preference to that one interpretation and remain quiet in calling him a kafir. Tika? Until you know his intention. Because he will tell you why he did it. And when he tells you his intention, then there is no space for interpretation anymore. Tika? And this is very important for us all to know, that we should not label nominal Muslims as kafir unless it is absolutely clear. Tika? Because we have iman and we have kufr. And we cannot mix them with each other. You cannot call iman as kufr. If you do that, you become a kafir. Tika? If there is iman and you call iman kufr, then you become a kafir. And if you have kufr and you call that iman, then you become kafir. Tika? Iman and kufr, they are distinguished, they are clear. The Quran is Furqan, it has separated iman and kufr. Tika? They have been separated. So that is the reason why it is iman for us to believe what is kufr, and it is iman for us to believe what is iman. So if there is a kafir like Abu Jahl, it is our iman to believe him as a kafir. We have to believe him as a kafir. And if it is our iman, that we must believe a believer as a believer. And we will always judge according to that which is apparent. Obviously that which isn't apparent towards us, how can we judge towards that, according to that? Because we don't know that. You can't judge according to what's in the heart of people unless he tells you what is in the heart of his people. And even when he tells you, you know what he's saying, which is apparent, yet you still don't know what is in his heart. Okay? If we begin to judge according to the hearts of people, then it would become hard for us to call our own parents Muslims, and it would become hard for us to call George Bush a kafir. Because we don't know what's in their heart. We have to judge according to what's apparent, their apparent actions and their apparent statements. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the bodies. Allah doesn't look at the bodies. وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ, and Allah does not look at the faces of people. وَلَاكِ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ, but Allah looks towards the heart. Theek hai? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says this to show that it is Allah who has that power, but we don't have that power. Theek hai? So we will look at the apparent actions and what has been said and judge in accordance to that. And that's why one of the usul of fiqh, which is taken from a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that al-hukmu bil-zawahir, that the hukum is always on the zahir, that which is apparent. Jo zahir hota hai, us pe hukum lagta hai. Otherwise people would say something and say, I didn't mean that in my heart. Theek hai? So when one calls another a kafir, one of them is a kafir. The next hadith after that is Sayyiduna Ayyub Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala recorded from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala, what he records is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la yahillu li muslimin an yahjura akhahu fawqa thalathin. It is not halal for a believer, for a Muslim, to leave his brother for more than three. For more than three. Yaltaqiyan, when they see each other and meet each other, فَيَصُدُّ هَذَا وَيَصُدُّ هَذَا. يَصُدُّ means أَعْرَضَ, meaning this one turns away and that one turns away. Theka? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, it is not halal for one Muslim to leave another Muslim brother for more than three. When they meet, they turn their faces away and walk away from each other. In this manner. So, to fall out for more than three. وَخَيْرُهُمَا, and the best from both of them, الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ بِالسَّلَامِ, is he who first says salam to the other. Tika, he is the better one. And this is in Bukhari Sharif, Kitab al-Istighfar. Very authentic hadith. Okay, so there is, in the sharah of this hadith, I can't recall exactly, but I remember that the Sahaba Ikram said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything further than three. Three moments, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 hours, 3 years, never mentioned anything. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply said three. Tiga? Three. And through some indications, some of the sharihin of the hadith, they said it means 3 days. Tika ayyam. Okay? So, what we learn from this is that we must not leave any of our Muslim brothers for more than 3 days. Okay? And not even 3 days. If you can, you shouldn't even leave them for 3 hours. And when we say leave them, it means fall out with them and not talk to them, or dislike them, or hate them, for any worldly matters. Tika? So for any worldly matter, or for a personal gain, benefit, or loss, or matter, you must not leave your Muslim brother. Tika? These things are not important. What is important is Iman, and you are connected through Iman. And thus you must not leave them, meaning fall out with them, and not talk to them, for more than three. Tika? And that three, according to the Fuqha Kiram, is 3 days, and thus you should not separate from them for more than 3 days. And the truth is that you shouldn't even separate from them for 3 moments. You shouldn't fall out. If you do, you should apologize. Begin with salam and end all dispute. That's the way it should be. Yes, then there are people who the hadith itself says don't sit with these people, don't say salam to them. Tika? So this doesn't mean that means that we should now all become pacifists and be good to everybody and love everybody and do not stay away from anybody. Go and sit with the drug dealers and go and sit with the alcoholics and say salam to the alcoholics and sit in their gatherings. That's not what it means. Okay? What it means is that for worldly matters and for worldly disputes, we must not leave our people. We must not break our unity. We must keep our unity. The only time it breaks is when somebody becomes against the Islamic law, or they have done something wrong in Islam. They have violated the law of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered in the Quran, لَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has then said that now you must not sit with these people. And if you do sit with them, then as soon as, because فَإِمَّا يَنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانِ, because shaitan has made you forget, and you have sat down with them, and you are sitting with them, then بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَ, as soon as you remember, then don't sit anymore, stand up and leave. Figure that these people are the alcoholics. These people drink alcohol, I shouldn't sit with them. Tika? These people have corrupted beliefs, I shouldn't sit with them. Okay? Or these people don't perform salah, They don't perform salah, I will not sit with them. These people don't give zakat, I will not sit with them. Okay? For this, it can be more than three, you may leave them and you will be rewarded for it. Theek hai? And not only more than three, if you leave them all your life because of that matter, because for example these people don't give zakat from their wealth, or these people don't fast in the month of Ramadan, then you will be rewarded for that. Theek hai? And Allah rewards in accordance to the intention. So if the intention is clean, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. Okay, so in the hadith there are others as well. For example, Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in regards to the Ahlul Bidah, those people who innovate in the religion, those people who bring new beliefs in the religion. Theek hai? For example, there was no harm in saying Ya Rasulullah, and then the people have come and said that Ya Rasulullah is shirk. There was no harm in seeking help from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a common practice of the Sahaba kiram, the Tabi'i, 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 the Aimma'i Mujtahideen, and then people came and said it's shirk to seek help from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what bid'ah is. Theek hai? This is innovation in religion. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become the decider amongst the Muslims, he decided, he was the hakim amongst the Muslims, he sent hukama around, and then people came and said that Allah is the only one that is a hakim. Hukum is only for Allah. Anybody else who gives a hukum is a mushrik. Tika? To vote is mushrik. You have become a mushrik. To be a citizen in the UK, you are a mushrik. Tika? All these types of different beliefs that have now started to enter Islam, these are the Ahlul Bidah, the people of innovation. Tika? They have innovated new meanings of the verses of the of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In regards to them, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Keep yourself away from them and keep them away from yourself. Tika? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you don't do that, لَا يُضِلُّونَكُمْ وَلَا يَفْتِنُونَكُمْ. And you should keep yourself away from them and them away from you, so that they do not misguide you and they do not put you into fitna. Tika? Now, a very good example of this is in Holland, there was a Maulana called Maulana Shaheed. Okay? His name was Maulana Shaheed, and he was a Sunni, Sahihul Aqidah, Barelvi Muslim scholar, and he had respect of the Barelvi ulama because he was doing work for the deen, but he used to keep contact with the Wahhabis. So he became a Shaheed Layla-e Najd. He became the Shaheed of Ibn Abdul Wahhab Najdi and Ibn Taymiyyah, up to the extent that he completely rejected the Hadith-e Nur of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Nur. He rejected the Hadith narrated by Sayyiduna Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks of the first creation being his light. Tika? Sheikh Isa Mani' from Dubai, from the UAE, has done research on the first part, the Juz'e Mafquda of Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, in which he has established that hadith of Sayyiduna Jabir, and they say that it doesn't exist. Tika? Yet it has now been published, and they found the actual written pen work of the Juz'e Mafquda of Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, and that hadith is in there. And if anybody wants to know the authenticity of that, then Sheikh Isa Mani has written the whole authenticity of that Juz'e Mafquda, and that's where the hadith Jabir radiallahu ta'ala is. This man also took a step further and he became such a Romeo of the Juniat of Najd that he went and said that Sheikh Akbar, Huzur Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi radiallahu ta'ala, is a kafir, ma'azallah. This is what he said. That simply because of keeping contact, sitting with the Wahhabis and the Najdis, this is what happens. The very great Sheikh who was renowned amongst all the great ulama-i kiram, who have all regarded him as the Sheikh Akbar, now, according to this man, is a kafir, ma'azallah. And it is apparent and it has been made clear by our ulama-i kiram that in the books of Shaykh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi radiallahu ta'ala, a lot of people had made alterations and they have added things in. Tika? And when there is such a great number of ulama and authentic muhaddithin, scholars who are saying that this man is one of the greatest awliya of Allah, then why would a person from today label him as a kafir? Tika? This is the way of the Wahhabis. And this is what happens when a person sits with the Wahhabis and keeps contact with them. He gets misguided. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, keep yourself away from them away from you, otherwise they will misguide you, and they will put you into fitna. And there is an example, prime example. Not a person from the general public, but a scholar that has been misguided. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تُسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, do not say salam to them. Do not say salam to them. وَلَا تُصَافَحُوهُمْ, do not do musafaha with them. Do not eat with them. Do not sit with them. وَلَا تُجَالِسُوهُمْ مَعَهُمْ, do not sit with them. Tika? And all these things the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in regards to nominal Muslims. Tika? So if it's such people, then not only 3 days, but you must stay away from them all throughout your life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on that straight path. So, but for worldly matters and for worldly reasons, you must not break ties with a fellow Muslim brother. Never mind a family member. Tika? In regards to sila rahmi, in regards to making stronger the bond between your relatives, that is another chapter. And there is more emphasis in making sure that your relatives that you are bound with through your mother and your father, how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that you must strengthen them bonds. Tika? And you must always keep in contact with them. Up to the extent that even to keep in contact with your father's friends and your mother's friends after they have left this world, after your parents have left this world, to keep in contact and be good towards your father's friends is a reward in Islam. Tika? And it is encouraged that you contact them and you seek their health, how they are, see how they are and see if they need anything. That is a very rewarding act in Islam. Okay, so we must not break any ties for more than 3 days for any worldly reason. And the best from amongst them who do fall out in such a manner, the best from amongst them is he who begins with salam. So the first person to say salam to the other, he is the one who is better than the other. And in another narration, there is a narration where it says that the person who says salam first will enter into Jannah first. Tiga? He who is more haste in salam, in saying salam, and he who says first salam first will enter Jannah first. Tiga? So if you look, there are people that we don't talk to, there are people we don't do salam to. Okay? And you need to think to yourself, why do we not do this? Is it for a reason in Islamic law or is it not? If it is for a reason within the Islamic law, then we should leave it as it is. But if it is not, and it is for some worldly reason, then we should try and find that person and say salam to him first, to be the better. Tika? And you will be the better one and you will go into Jannah, inshallah, before him. The next hadith, Sayyiduna Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala narrates, he says, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he says that he heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, what was he saying? لَا يَمْرَضُ مُؤْمِنٌ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٌ وَلَا مُسْلِمٌ وَلَا مُسْلِمَةٌ إِلَّا حَطَّ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهَا عَنْهُ خَطِيئَتَهُ, that no believer, male or female, or no Muslim male or female, ever becomes ill, does not become sick, does not become ill, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that illness, through that sickness, removes his sins. Tika? Removes his or her sin. So every single time when a believer becomes ill, or he has pain in his body, or he has become sick, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his sins through that illness and through that struggle. Tika? This is the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala an. He narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أنه قال ليس من عملي يوم إلا وهو يختم عليه. Every action of the day is stamped upon, is sealed. Okay? Every action that you perform on the day is written. It is written and it is sealed. فَإِذَا مَرِضَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. However, when a believer becomes ill or he becomes a patient, قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The malaika, the angels say, يَا رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, عَبْدُكَ فُلَانٌ قَدْ حَبَسْتَهُ. Such and such a servant of yours, you have given him sickness, or you have given him an illness. فَيَقُولُ رَبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِخْتِمُوا لَهُ عَلَى مِثْلِ عَمَلِهِ حَتَّى يَبْرَأَ أَوْ يَمُوتَ. That write for him every day the actions that he used to perform when he was well, until he becomes better or until he dies. Tika? So this is also part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person is well and he is healthy, and he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say worship Allah, it doesn't only mean standing in the musalla and performing salah. That is very important. That is the best form of worship. Okay? There is a hadith where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the salah, if there was any form of worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found dearer than salah, then verily the angels would have been performing worship in that manner. However, I see that the angels are in ruku', they are standing, they are in sajda, they are in qa'da, and they are in qawma. Okay? Which means that the angels worship Allah through this practice. Which means this is the most dearest, this is the dearest practice of worship to Allah, near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, although that is the best form of worship, anything else that you used to do when you were well and healthy and good, you used to knock on your neighbor's house and see if they are okay. You used to go to your relatives and sit and see if they are fine. You used to go and take food from one place to another. You used to go and help somebody elderly. Anything good that you used to do. Tika? You used to go to the masjid, sit in the masjid, do i'tikaf. Whatever good you used to do, used to go and sit with the ulama, any good that you used to do, it will be written for you even when you are bedbound due to your illness. Tika? This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next hadith is narrated by Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of all the believers. She said, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَلَىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ وَسَلَّمْ. She said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is a very famous hadith from Tirmidhi Sharif, لَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنَ شَوْكَةٌ فَمَا فَوْقَهَا إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةٌ وَحَطَّ أَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيئَةٌ. That every thorn that pricks a Muslim person, male or female, tika? Or even anything smaller than that. That's what the hadith says. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Or anything smaller than that. Which means any type of, the smallest form of pain that a believer feels or has to go through. So, shawka is a thorn. So every thorn that pricks a believer, or anything even smaller than that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for it, removes one of his sins and raises him one status higher. Tika? In the court of Allah. So he is rising in the court of Allah and his sins are being forgiven. Okay? So a thorn, when it pricks a believer, he feels that pain, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of the believer and Allah removes his sins. Tika? So think about a person who has his hand cut off. How much reward must he receive and how much status is his? He must rise. The more the pain, the more the status rises and the more the sins are forgiven. Okay, and this does not mean, and one may do this, It does not mean that people go and find thorns and start pricking themselves, thinking that I am rising in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my sins are being forgiven. And if somebody does do this with the intention of following the hadith, then if Allah wills, then Allah may remove his sins, even if he does it intentionally. Tika? Because he is going through pain. Hadith number 27. And the reason why I say this is because this, it doesn't damage your body, okay? A thorn. And then when we talk about using a whip or something that can damage your body, like a sword, like the Shias do, inflicting pain upon themselves, that is haram. Okay, because this body is given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to cause such pain, such distortion onto the body is not permissible, it is haram. It's taghyir fi khalqillah. Okay? But a thorn, it doesn't cause any distortion to the body. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala recorded that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن شَيْءٍ يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنَ مِن نَصَبْ ولا حزن ولا وصب حتى الهم يهمه الا يكفر الله به عنه سيئاته. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that every time a believer faces any tiredness or any struggle, tika, and nasab means ana ta'ab and mashaqqa, so any mashaqqa or any ta'ab means tiredness. Wala hazan, and hazan means gham, grief. Tika? Any grief. Wala wasab. Wasab means illness. Tika? Every time a believer faces struggle, tiredness, grief, or illness, hatta alhammu yahummuhu, up to the extent that even a disturbing thought that comes into his mind, and he thinks of that thought, إِلَّا يُكَفِّرُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ, then verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that removes his sins. Tika, washes away his sins. يُكَفِّرُ means compensates. So that compensates for his sins. So the trouble and the struggles that a Muslim believer goes through, up to the extent that the disturbing thought that he has in his mind, أَهَمْ يَهُمُّهُ, which he thinks of, then even that removes his sins. So such mercy is there of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here for us to take. Hadith, next one, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala records from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. And this is in Bukhari Sharif. And this is a very, very good hadith. And it is one of the very amazing quotes of wisdom from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yuldagu al-mu'minu min juhri wahidin marratayn." A believer is not stung by the same hole twice. Tika? Mu'min ek hi surakh se do martaba dasa nahi jata. Okay? A believer is never stung by the same hole twice. So if you can imagine a believer, a person walking in a desert, for example, and there's a hole in the ground from which a snake came and it bit the person. Tika? Now, if this person is dumb, stupid and daft, when he's doing the same journey again, he's going to get bitten again. Tika? Because he's dumb, he doesn't realize that there was a hole here, I shouldn't walk on this path. But if he is clever and he is smart, then he will remember the next time he's travelling here. He will remember that there was a hole there, so I should avoid that part. Tika? So he would avoid that hole the next time, the second time. And that's what this means, that a believer uses his intellect. A believer is not daft. A believer is smart. Tika? And that is why it is said, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن, that fear the mind of a believer, because the mind of a believer is very, very sharp. Tika? You should fear the mind, the cleverness, or the intellect of a believer. So a believer will not be stung by the same hole twice. A believer will be smart, and he will know He will be clever enough to know that I will not be fooled by the same thing again. Okay, so this hadith also means you can use this hadith in every aspect of your life. So for example, you were performing wudu, for example, in a place and you slipped once, you wouldn't slip the next time because you'd be careful the next time. You have done a business deal with somebody and he fooled you once, then a believer will not be fooled by the same person twice. Tiga? So a believer is he who will not be fooled by the same hole twice. And you can extract many, many meanings from that, and you can do so much tashrih of that, and you can use so many examples for that hadith. The next hadith, Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he records from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, annahu qal, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innal kafira idha amila hasana ut'ima biha tu'matan min ad-dunya. And this is a question that arises in a lot of people's head. The answer the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given, if you hear the answer, you know what the question is. Verily the disbeliever, the one who does not believe in Islam, the non-believing person, verily the kafir, when he does a good act, أُطْعِمَ بِهَا طُعْمَةً مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, he is given his reward in the dunya. He is fed provision in the dunya, مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, from the dunya. وَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنَ, sorry, وَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُ, and as for a believer, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَدَّخِرُ لَهُ حَسَنَاتِهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers or collects for him his good deeds in the akhirah, in the hereafter. وَيُعْقِبُهُ رِزْقًا فِي الدُّنْيَا, and also follows it with rizq, meaning provision, in the dunya. عَلَىٰ طَاعَتِهِ, on the act that he carried out. Theek hai? So a lot of people think, okay, what about all the good that the non-believers do? So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it clear that those non-believers who do good, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does reward them in the dunya. Theek hai? And you will find that a lot of non-believers do a lot of acts of charity and kindness towards people, kindness towards animals, so much. Especially here we hear about it a lot. So we see that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them in the dunya through provision. Okay, and there's another hadith coming after this which mentions that as well. As for a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not always reward them in this dunya. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say that Allah, through that good act, gives them provision in this world as well. Okay, so if somebody is facing poverty or needs more provision, then here is a solution. He should do good towards other people. He should carry out hasanat, which is good deeds. And when a person does good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him rizq and rozi and provision. The next hadith is recorded by Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala as well, but the wording is different. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مُؤْمِنًا حَسَنَةً يُعْطَى بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَيُجْزَى بِهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not commit zulm towards anybody. Okay? Allah does not commit zulm towards anybody. And in regards to the good deeds that a believer does, Allah does not transgress towards that believer. Tika? How? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not transgress, meaning Allah does not make less his reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make less his reward. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgets the reward. Okay? Allah is free from forgetting. Forgetting is a default. Sorry, it's a fault and it's a defect, and Allah is free from all faults and defects. So Allah cannot forget. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the believers. So يُعْطَى بِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, he is given a reward for his good deed in the dunya. وَيُجْزَى بِهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and he is also rewarded in the hereafter, in the akhirah. وَأَمَّا الْكَافِرُ, And as for a non-believer, for a kafir, for he who does not accept the call of Islam, فَيُطْعَمُ بِحَسَنَاتِ مَا عَمِلَ بِهَا لِلَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. He is given, he is fed. And the word fed is used. Fed meaning given food. فَيُطْعَمُ بِحَسَنَاتِ مَا عَمِلَ بِهَا. He is fed in the dunya through provision when he has committed an act for the sake of Allah, for the sake of God. Okay? For the sake of God, if a non-believer has committed an act, a good act, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them in this dunya through feeding them food or giving them good provision. Hatta idha afda ila al-akhirah, and Allah gives them so much in the dunya that idha afda ila al-akhirah, when they come towards the hereafter on the day of judgment, lam takul lahu hasana yujza biha, there will be no good deed left in their book of deeds that has not been rewarded for, that they be rewarded for on the day of judgment. Tika? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them all their due, and remember, nothing is necessary upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them their reward in the dunya. Tika? And nothing is left unrewarded, that they come unto the day of judgment and say that this deed of mine that I did in the world, I have not been rewarded for. Okay? There will be no such thing. All these ahadith are mentioned in Kitabul Iman because of the word mu'min, believer, that has been mentioned. Okay? Even the ahadith of unity that were mentioned because it was about believers, mu'min. Okay? And the pain and the struggle that a believer goes through, again, the word mu'min was used. And that's why these ahadith are mentioned in Kitabul Iman. And the last hadith mentioned in this chapter, in this book, Kitabul Iman, is from Sayyidina Abu Qatada radiyallahu ta'ala an, anna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam murra alayhi bi janaza. That once a janaza was taken past the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مُسْتَرِيح وَمُسْتَرَاحٌ مِّنْ. Two words the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. قَالُوا, the Sahaba kiram said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْمُسْتَرِيحُ وَالْمُسْتَرَاحُ مِّنْ. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon you, what is مُسْتَرِيح and مُسْتَرَاحٌ مِّنْ? What does that mean? When a deceased body was being taken past, these are the words the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So qala he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al abdul mu'minu yastarihu min nasab ad-dunya wa adaha ila rahmatillahi ta'ala azza wa jal. He says that the believer, the believing servant, al abdul mu'min, the believing servant, meaning worship of Allah, the believing servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rests. Yastarih means to rest. Okay? To peacefully rest. Yastarih means. He peacefully rests from the problems of the world. And that's why he is mustarih, the one who rests. Okay? So al-abdul mu'minu yastarihu min nasab ad-dunya. He feels peace and tranquility from the troubles and struggles of the dunya. Wa adaha ila rahmatillahi ta'ala. And the taklif, the pain that he has to go through. Tika? In the dunya. He feels rest from all of them into the mercy of Allah. Now he has gone ila rahmatillahi ta'ala azza wa jal, because now he has gone towards the mercy of Allah. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mustarih. Meaning he is now resting, rest in peace. That's why we use the term rest in peace. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal abdul fajir, and the disobeying servant. And the word fajir can mean disobeying, it can mean non-Muslim, kafir, it can even mean a mushrik. Fujur, it comes fisk, fujur, all of it. Fujur simply is to disobey. So, wal abdul fajir, the disobeying servant, yastarihu minhu al-ibad. the servants of Allah that are left in this world, they rest in peace from Him. Theek hai, how is that? Min zulmihi alayhim, for example. Due to the transgression that he used to commit towards people. Theek hai, because he used to be a zalim. Wal bilad, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yastarihu minhu al-ibad wal bilad. Not only the servants of Allah are now resting in peace from this abd fajir, this disobeying servant, but even the earth is also resting in peace from this person. Why? Bima yaf'aluhu fiha min al-ma'asi. This is part of the sharah, this is not part of the hadith. Due to the sins that he used to commit on the earth. So even the earth feels disturbed by the sins that people commit on the earth. Okay, so the Abd al-Fajir, when he leaves, the servants rest in peace from his transgression, his oppression, his zulm, his violence, and the earth also feels peace and tranquility because he used to commit sins on it. وَالشَّجَرُ, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even the trees, they feel peace because of when he used to, or when he would remove the fruits from the trees without permission. Tika, and rightfully. And he used to commit ghasab. Tika? He used to steal the fruits from it. Or he used to cut the branches without permission, unrightfully. So if he was doing things like this, unrightfully, then the trees will feel peace from him. Wad dawabu, and the animals will also feel peace from this person. How? Because he used to use them above their strength. He used to use them more than they were capable of. وَتَقْصِيرُهُ فِي عِلْفِهَا, and he used to shorten or lessen their food and their drink. And because he used to do all of this, Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مُسْتَرَاحٌ مِّنْ, that the people and the earth and the trees and the animals, they are all now at peace and rest due to him leaving this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who feel peace when we leave this world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.